You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fund podcast series, I'm joined by Matt Cagney, CEO of RenewTrack. Matt, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Chris, my man, how are you? Love the green shirt.
Thanks, mate. A lot of the viewers, listeners out there won't be able to see the green shirt, but you can check out threadless.com. There's plenty of T-shirts there for sale, and they're all pretty funky. So, mate, what have you got on today? You got the RenewTrack T-shirt on?
Yeah, I'm representing the brand with the swag.
There you
go. Got the RenewTrack shirt on, mate. Yeah,
that's it. Now, let's talk RenewTrack. Now, it's probably not a overly familiar name in the fintech ecosystem, but I'd love to hear the story about how the business began.
Yeah, look, RenewTrack was founded by two gentlemen out of distribution, which realized that the renewals process for customers was a protracted nightmare, to cut a long story short. And the reason I personally got into the business was I was doing a lot of renewals for Afterpay. And quite a lot of the time I'd get woken up at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning and our largest customer couldn't transact. For some reason, a software vendor had shut down our license keys for a piece of software because we hadn't got the renewal notice. So it caused me untold frustration, and it was something I wanted to solve personally. And that's how I came across RenewTrack.
Excellent. And the implications of that, I mean, I don't really know from a business of the size of, let's talk about Afterpay, in terms of how many subscriptions and how many renewals. Can you give a bit of an example of a business like that and what is required on the process of that, is also the complexity around that?
Yeah, look, I think I couldn't tell you exactly the number of software and hardware elements we had at Afterpay, but let's just say in the component I managed, you know, it was 50s or above, right?
Yep.
And the problem is, what happens is you set your budget a year in advance and you say to Anthony and Nick and the CFO at the time, right, we're going to spend this much to run this particular part of the business in the P&L, then subscribing to particular pieces of software. And you get a renewal during that particular year to say, do I want to continue using that service? And I go, absolutely, it's a mission critical element for us to run the business. So I've got to renew it. So I need as much time as I possibly can get to understand what is the vendor or the channel partner quoting me to retain that particular license. Are there any other services or products that they would like to offer me? Then I have to check with my business manager and my technical manager to make sure they're still okay and there's no security issues or vulnerabilities that they've assessed. And then I need to check with my finance department just to make sure, okay, we've still got that line item on the P&L and is it covered in our budget? And I need to go through that approval process. And a lot of the time, vendors will provide you 60, 30 days notice of an upcoming renewal, if less. And a lot of time, that's just not enough time to actually do your job and manage your business properly. And a lot of people say, oh, you should know when all of these items are renewing. But that's a hard part to remember. So it was a real nightmare for us. And I know it is for many businesses, even our business today.
And the complexity, as you mentioned, of multiple different departments, and then obviously the quoting, there's probably different parties on the counterparty side, from their sales team to different account managers and the turnover. I mean, how does RenewTrack fit in with this, and what are you doing to help these businesses to make this more efficient?
Yeah, so Chris, what we aim to do is we aim to democratize the whole process and digitize it. So what we want to do is our first premise is we want to make sure that every single customer is aware of an upcoming anniversary for a software or hardware product. So they know 90, 120 days out, hey, Chris, you're subscribing to this piece of software, might be Microsoft. It's due in 120 days time. So let's just say April 2023. And we want to renew you at the same price you paid last time. So we want to do that. We want to democratize that process. But also, in a today's ecosystem in financial markets, it's not acceptable to retain a customer for a dollar, the same dollar they had this time last year, for a dollar this year. They VCs and financial markets want to see us grow that customer from $1.10, from $1 to $1.10 or $1.20, and grow my share of wallet. So what we do is we digitally promote or quote any like-for-like opportunity, but also any upsell or cross-sell variant on that, which might be an increased support level or a discount for a three-year contract or something along those kind of lines. Or actually, since you've got this software, you might actually like this software as well.
Matt, the democratization process from a tangible point of view from businesses on both sides of your system, can you talk about how important it is and the benefits that not only someone that says yes straight away or in 3 months in advance is all over it, but also from the counterparty, as you mentioned, for some of these companies that are looking to improve their overall ARR?
Yeah, so I think one thing we've got to do is a lot of businesses have to protect your existing client base. So we can't be churning clients. It costs us too much time and too much money and too much effort to acquire a client. So it's much easier to retain them. So we need to make sure that our sales teams or our renewals, our operations teams have all the information at hand, ready, and the customer has that coming up well in advance so they can actually prepare for that particular renewal. So we'll advise the sales team, the customer success team, the renewals team, hey, here's your portfolio that's up for renewal, but we'll also advise the customer way out in front and provide them with a digital interactive quote and checkout experience.
And Matt, the current state of the business, can you talk me through how RenewTrack's going? I think you noticed some funding a little while ago. Can you talk about the growth of the business and also the opportunities, from a global point of view as well? I'd imagine this business is, not just Australian shores.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe we'll talk about the size of the market first, because that's a really good question. For roughly the top 90 tech companies around the globe, their renewals book is around about $180 billion US.
That's huge.
And that comes from the Technology Industry Service Association. So, it's a really big problem. But with the whole financial markets, as you look at the way they're driving a focus on annual recurring revenue and the shift to subscriptions or SaaS, there's about $4.7 trillion spent a year in the technology market. So we're seeing a massive shift of that $4.7 trillion to annual recurring revenue. So no longer professional services or one-off licenses or one-off hardware. It's all software as a service, subscription or hardware as a service, or some sort of consumption. So we see the market problem is growing from circa $180 billion, potentially up to $4.7 trillion over the course of the next, maybe two decades. So that gets us really pumped. So the problem's big, the problem's global. We've been fortunate enough to get on board Tidal Ventures last July, is our seed extension round. And they've just been absolutely amazing in working in our business, very operational, very disciplined around product, launching new products, markets. And they've just brought a really nice strength to our board and also us at a day-to-day operations, helping to challenge our thinking around the way we construct our product and platform and build core IP for the globe. So they've been just hugely supportive. And over the last, since July last year, we've grown the business 6x.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And now we're operating in close to 60 countries globally, and that's multilingual, multi-currency, multi-tax. So we've done a whole lot of growing up over the last couple of years, and we've even dotted all the I's and crossed the T's with some ISO 27001 compliance, GDPR compliance, PCI compliance, and even some of the Californian-based privacy legislation, Brazilian legislation. So we've really done a lot of growing up.
Head down, mate. I want to touch on your background a little bit in terms of being at Afterpay and watching that growth through that phase of being a listed company to where it was and when you left and the experiences that you learned from there and sort of collaborating over into what you're doing at RenewTrack now?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I learned at Afterpay was just sticking to your knitting. How do you narrow down the focus? And Ant and Nick were very myopically focused on how do we win millennial fashion in Australia? How do we build millennial fashion?
Sort of vertical by vertical, yeah.
Vertical by or vertical, geo by geo, and then how do we do the same in America? And then once you've demonstrated that you have some ownership of that particular vertical, then expand into the next one. We've been relatively fortunate to acquire some really awesome tech logos very early on globally. So we started with, we've secured a deal with VMware. We started in two countries with them, France and Turkey, which probably the hardest countries we could have chosen. Mm. Bit of a nightmare to start off with, but we proved ourselves pretty quickly. And we were lucky enough to expand into the UK and Ireland. And so what we did is we said, right, let's focus on long tail. So opportunities under $10,000. In a couple of countries. Once we've proven that, and that we can grow your recurring revenue book, reduce churn, grow ARR, we'll expand into additional countries for the similar kind of vertical. And we prove that, and then we expand into more countries and more countries. And then gradually, once we've proven that it does what it says on the box, we slowly open up and bring in more products from the vendor and actually more geographies. And actually increase the threshold. So more recently, we've increased the value of opportunities processed through our platform from $10,000 all the way up to $100,000, which is pretty cool. And then in parallel, so they're a software company. For hardware, we did something pretty similar for both Lenovo and HP, sort of stick to our knitting, prove that we could help influence their renewals and retaining customers, and then pick a couple of geographies, go North America first. And then eventually, once we've proven that, we go into Canada, then into the EMEA.
Sounds like, you know, took a lot from that Afterpay experience and sticking to your knitting, and also the complexities around, you know, being global. And I'd imagine the USA is the biggest market, I'd imagine, for technology companies and subscriptions. You know, how important is that market for you moving forward?
Yeah, look, probably 95% of our business actually comes from North America at the moment. It's kind of interesting being an Australian startup. We're finding it easier to sell to North American companies than it is to Australian companies in our own backyard, which is interesting. Mm. So the market there is just absolutely massive, and we're targeting. We've got a number of different markets we're going after. One is global. ISVs or independent software vendors. That market's sort of made up of about 175,000 companies at the moment. Will grow to about 1 million by 2030. So we're starting to heavily target the ISV market in North America. Over and above that, there's probably anywhere between 300,000 to 400,000 channel partners globally. And we're working with big companies like Cisco, and they're taking us to market about how can we digitize and automate their renewals process globally. Targeting a few select channel partners first initially to prove that it does what it says in the back box, and then go bigger and broader.
Matt, one final question on the business before we delve into you a little bit. Why are you so excited about being the boss of RenewTrack over the next 12 months?
Oh, look, I think it's pretty cool to get to, you know, to have your own say and get to be, well, the final voice apart from the board, right? Everybody has a boss. You know, my boss is the board, and then the board's boss is the shareholders.
Yep.
But I feel pretty pumped about getting to set the direction and, you know, and also setting the culture about we want to develop a product that our customers love and that makes their mum proud, which means that we don't want to be ripping people off. And we want the product to stand on its own two feet. And if it doesn't stand on its own two feet, turn it off. That's what really pumps me up. And just the sheer size of the market. Coming from a payments background, there's that payments volume is so large and so huge. There's a lot of pressure on the margin payments companies make. And so one of the things I like about RenewTrack is what we're trying to do is actually capture a whole other market around payments, but actually expand into the value chain to provide greater value to those enterprises and their customer sets, to provide them with greater value and wrap that up, and actually the proof's in the pudding by converting that with a payment.
Matt, when we're not talking about compliance codes and renewals and vendors and going global and different niche markets, in your downtime, if you have any, by the way, what does Matt get up to?
Look, I must admit, we bought a Peloton bike in COVID lockdown. I think that must have been about 9 months ago. And I think Pella was my church. I love the Peloton bike, and I love getting up I try to get up every morning and do it, but my day starts pretty early in for North America at like sort of 4 to 5 a.m. So I've got to try and fit my 30, 45 minutes in, and it's hard, but I absolutely love it. And the other big thing I'm really keen on is volunteer surf lifesaving. So I've joined Vilgola Surf Club down here, and love getting out there and teaching the nippers how to do it, and making sure people are safe in the water.
Mate, and the Peloton, what's your favourite setting or class? Or I'm sure there's different ones out there that you enjoy.
Yeah, one of my favourite ones is a lady out of New York called Olivia Omato, and she does all of her Pelotons to electronic dance music, and I'm just an electronic dance music nut, and love a good rave, love a good spin class, and just love getting the endorphins fired up.
There you go, mate, there you go. And then out to the beach, mate, to relax and to help with the surf lifesaving, a very, very, very good cause. And you get out there and do a bit of surfing yourself, or a bit more of a body surfer?
I used to windsurf many, many years ago and surf and wakeboard and all those type of things. Now I do a bit of SUP boarding, and I'm getting pretty pumped about teaching my daughters. I've got two daughters, 11 and 12, and I'm teaching them how to skurf. So for those who might not be aware what skurfing is, it's essentially towing a surfboard behind a boat with a rope. So it's the first stage to wake skating.
Yep.
So I'm really keen on getting them into that, and we had them out for the first time a couple of weekends ago. So that gets me pumped up and fired up as well.
Mate, how'd they go? Did they have a few falls? A bit nervous?
No, mate. Actually, I was really surprised. I think they were probably, when I started out in the tube, they were more nervous on the tube than they were on the surfboard. I don't know why.
There you go. Maybe that age of the when you get into your 40s, you start to feel like you're going to break everything. But maybe when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, you've got no fear.
Well, exactly, mate. Exactly.
Matt, thanks so much today for giving us a chat on the overview of Renew Track, the global opportunity at large, which, as you mentioned, is global, and it is very, very large with some very, very large players, and what you're doing is democratizing that access and also helping those companies from a huge benefit point of view financially. Congratulations on what you achieved in Renew Track, and really look forward to catching up in the next 12 months.
Thanks, Chris, and love your podcast, love your company, and thanks for your support, mate.
Excellent, thank you.
Cheers.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast, brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.